Jesus made a connection with you and I. And how did he do that? He made a connection with you and I by giving of himself, laying down his life for us. And he connected to our need. He connected to our distress. He gave himself for us. And out of that giving to meet a need in us, there is now a relationship that would never have existed if he didn't give of himself for us.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. 1 Chronicles 29:14.
A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Proverbs 11:25.
Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Proverbs 19:17.
Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Hebrews 13:16.
He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:10.
Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Proverbs 22:9.
And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19.
Today's message is about the benefits of giving. Make no mistake, the believer doesn't give in order to be blessed. But God, in his graciousness, chooses to bless us as we bless him and bless others through him.
And do you have your Bibles out? Let's jump right into the Word of God this morning. And we are in the end of Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to take a look at this portion of Scripture. And I believe that God has something important to say to us before we leave the book of Philippians behind. But if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, I want to give you some things to jot down and to take home and to pray about and think about and see how it works out in your life as we go through this portion of Scripture. So let's pray together as we take a look at what the Lord has to say to us. Heavenly Father, again, we just bow before you. And we ask that you would make this time in your word and around your word meaningful. Lord, speak to each one of us individually, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, we often hear it's better to give than to receive, right? It's a phrase that that all of us know, and we've probably all used it from one time or another. It's better to give than to receive. The problem is that most of us don't really believe that. We say it, but we don't really believe it. And so we are much more willing and anxious and glad about receiving rather than giving. And so what I want to challenge you today with out of this portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul, as he winds up his letter, he begins to thank the Philippian church for their gift that they gave and provided to him. And in the process of thanking them for their generosity toward him, as he went around and did his missionary work, he lays out in this text certain benefits that come to us when we give. And so when we say it's better to give than to receive, the Apostle Paul puts some meat around those bones and lays out some specific benefits that we can find in giving. And so I want you to jot these down so that you can not only hear what I'm saying today, but that you can think about that as time goes on and think about each one of these benefits and how it works out in your life. The first one is in right there in verse 10. And in verse 10, he says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." The first benefit that I want you to see is that giving produces joy. Giving produces joy. And praise was prompted by the giving of these Philippians. And notice this, that the joy was produced both in the church and in the apostle. And so there is joy that is produced in the one who is giving, but also we have the opportunity by giving to produce joy in the person who receives it. Amen. It's a wonderful privilege that we have to be able to have joy produced in somebody else. You know, when you sit down at Christmas time, for example, and you're exchanging gifts maybe among the family members, and particularly in children, you notice when you give them a gift, that smile that jumps out on their face. Well, that becomes like the reward for giving. You give, and the payback is just to see that smile from ear to ear, to see the joy that's produced when the person actually receives the thing that they've been wanting. And so when we have the privilege to give, we really become joy producers, and we can impact other people. Paul says, "I rejoiced when finally you showed that you cared by giving." But the implication here is that the church really did desire to give, but just didn't have the opportunity. When you look at the end of the verse there, he says, "Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." And so it's one thing to want to give and not have the opportunity to give. It's another thing to have the opportunity to give and not take advantage of it and give. But the best thing is when both the opportunity and the ability, the desire and the opportunity come together. When you have the desire and opportunity meeting each other, that's what produces joy. And so when you have opportunity and desire, the desire to give should be there all the time. But we don't always have the opportunity to give. But when that desire that you carry with you to give all the time meets with an opportunity, it becomes a place where joy can be produced. It's like if you've taken two electric wires, you know, and you put them together and sparks start flying. You know, it's when those two things meet that sparks happen. Well, that's the way opportunity and desire should be. And we need to keep the electricity always flowing in our hearts for a desire to give. We need to ask ourselves, do I have that desire to give? Because if you don't really have a desire to give, then even when you have the opportunity, it's going to be like, let me pass this plate. Let me let this thing go by. But if we have the opportunity, if it's flowing in our hearts, if we have the desire, if that's flowing in our hearts, then when the opportunity comes, sparks can fly. And we can produce joy, both in our own hearts and in the hearts of those that we interact with. I was touched by, I told Pastor Sam, I actually clipped out an article that was in the Reporter. I don't know if anybody else saw it. But the Indian Valley Opportunity Center is honoring a 17-year-old student from Sauterton High School who on her own saw a need. I forget exactly what the need was, a community need at one of the agencies, and decided that she wanted to help and raise some funds. And so she went about organizing this fundraiser and raised a couple thousand dollars, 17-year-old kid that saw a need, had a desire to do something. Because she was thinking about that, an opportunity and desire came together, and a lot of people were affected by that. I think that part of our problem is that we need to challenge ourselves about how much desire do we have in our hearts. And when opportunity and desire come together, giving produces joy. The second thing that I want you to see, however, is that faithful giving is not just about meeting a need. It's bigger than just meeting a need. Now, this is real important. Let me read verses 11 through 13. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." In other words, Paul's saying, hey, listen, it's not really about my need. It's bigger than that. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So the Apostle Paul here is saying that it's bigger than just meeting a need, and our giving should be about more than just meeting a need. Giving to the apostle was much more than just providing him with a meal or with clothes or with shoes. It's bigger than that. And we need to see our giving as bigger than that. We keep reminding you that our stewardship campaign here at Monco Bible Fellowship is not just about facilities. You know, here we are, we've been giving to this stewardship campaign, our expansion fund, and we keep saying, I don't know how many of you really believe it, but we keep saying that it's bigger than just facilities, that our mission is about making disciples. And we want to expand certain aspects of our ministry here, whether it's facilities or ministry in some area, so that we can expand our capacity to make disciples. In other words, our giving is bigger than just making sure there's an elevator coming in the back. It's bigger than just trying to secure the building next door. It's bigger than just facilities. It is about expanding our capacity to make disciples. It's about impacting lives around us. It's really about giving to God for God's kingdom. And too many times we get focused in our giving just on the project, or just on the physical thing in front of us, just that need that's in front of us. And we lose this aspect that my giving is really to God, and my giving is a part of my worship to God, and the result of my giving is the expansion of God's kingdom. And so I want us to recapture this idea that the Apostle Paul is saying, that it's bigger than just about the need. You know, I believe with all my heart that if we came in one Sunday and this roof had fallen in and we stood before you and said, you know what, the roof has fallen in, we need some money to make sure we repair this roof, I believe we could collect a huge offering to repair the roof. I believe that with all my heart, I do believe that there are believers here who care about what's going on here and want to see the work go forward. They would write the check to make sure that this roof is taken care of. Well, my question is, what about when the roof doesn't need to be repaired? What about when the bills are all paid? What about when there's no project in front of us? What about our giving then? And I guess what I want to challenge you is what the Apostle Paul is saying. It's not about the need. We shouldn't get so project-oriented. You know, there's some churches that go from one project to another project. And the reason that they go from project to project is because they've figured out that a lot of Christians only give when there's a project. And our giving has to be bigger than the project. Our giving needs to be a part of our worship to God. It's not about the need. It's about the expression of our heart. It's about expanding God's kingdom. And so I want to challenge you, write it down and think about it and pray about it during the week. Is my giving just about meeting a need? We need to make sure that it's much bigger than that. Faithful giving is not just about meeting a need. It's about expressing our love for God by keeping a commitment made to God. So that when I make a commitment about giving to God, I want to make sure that I'm faithful in that commitment. Amen. Let me give you another one. And I just, as Brother James, Brother Chuck was reading this, it popped in my head. I didn't have it in my notes, but as he's reading the text again, I thought of another one that is here in verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we take that verse and normally, you know, we apply it to just about almost anything. You know, I can do all things. I can jump off the roof through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we just like broadly apply that verse. And certainly, I think that the verse has broader implications than the context that's here. But let's focus on the context. Keep it in context, because he's talking about giving and receiving. And specifically, he's talking about his own situation in terms of this gift. And he's trying to make the point that their giving is bigger than, it's not just about his need. And the reason is because whether he has a lot, whether he's abounding, or whether he's in poverty, he's not worried about receiving just the gift. He can make it through Christ who strengthens him in poverty as well as in abundance. I hope you see that. And so, catch this now. Faithful giving produces an opportunity for us to experience the power of God. Write that down. Faithful giving produces an opportunity for us to experience the power of God. And check this out. Both in the giver and in the receiver. Because when I give, it produces an opportunity for me to experience that, you know what? Christ can strengthen me even in my poverty. And when I give and I feel like I can't afford it, and I feel like I don't have enough to make it through on my own, and I'm wondering how in the world is this going to work out, and still I'm responding to somebody else's need, it becomes an opportunity for me to realize that it's Christ who strengthens me, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, both in abundance and in poverty. And so when we give to other people, not only do I have the opportunity as the giver to experience the power of God, but it produces an opportunity for God to demonstrate his power in somebody else's life and in their heart. So I give a brother $10 to go and get a Happy Meal and a supersized Coke, and he was hungry. Well, it produces an opportunity for God to speak to them and say, you know what? God is present. He is working in the hearts of men and women. He is meeting the need, and he can use you to speak to somebody else and reinforce in their life that, guess what? It's Christ who strengthens me, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so I want to challenge you that giving then, faithful giving, proves, it gives an opportunity for the proof of the power of God in our lives. God can see you through. And if you're scared today about giving, if you're scared to make a commitment to God about your giving, you're not sure how it's going to work out, if you're not sure if you're going to be able to make ends meet, I can tell you, I'm a witness. Carol says that I have this thing about, you know, being able to juggle things around. Well, it's not so much being able to juggle things around as just seeing God come through, sometimes just in the nick of time. It's not always on time, but on my time, but it's always in the nick of time. He just makes a way. And when we have the opportunity to prove that it's Christ who strengthens us, we need to do that. So if you're scared, like they say, you guys might have heard, if you listen to sports radio, there's an announcer who says, if you're scared, get a dog. but you can prove God to be faithful. And don't be scared to step out in faith and allow his power to be proved out in your life. Look at verse 14. Here's another one. Write this down. Faithful giving connects you to the pain of others. It connects you to the pain of others. He says in verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." In other words, their giving connected them to Paul's distress. They had the opportunity to share in his distress. They made a meaningful connection with Paul by giving of themselves and their resources to the Apostle Paul. Jesus, here's a perfect example of this. Jesus made a connection with you and I. And how did he do that? He made a connection with you and I by giving of himself, laying down his life for us. And he connected to our need. He connected to our distress. He gave himself for us. And out of that giving to meet a need in us, there is now a relationship that would never have existed if he didn't give of himself for us. And I want to tell you that in the very same way, we have the opportunity to make meaningful connections with people around us as we give to meet their needs. In fact, it's bigger than that. We have the opportunity in that meaningful connection to earn the right to speak into their life. You see, the just walking around with a bullhorn, shouting out the gospel, there might be a place for that, and there might be somebody who's ready, right, to receive the gospel, and they hear it and come to Christ. But by and large, most people aren't going to be affected by a bullhorn with you walking up and down the subway. There might be a place for handing out tracts on the street, and I believe that God has worked on the hearts of some people and brought them right to the brink where you hand them a tract and they read it and they bow their heart and receive Christ. There are testimonies of people who've received Christ just by being handed a tract. But, you know, most people aren't going to even read it. Have you ever been on the street and handed out tracts? You watch them. They take it, they look at it, they see what it's about. Why? Because we have not earned the right to speak into their life. But when we give to people and we meet a need in their life, we are making a connection that earns us the right to speak into their life.
Dr. Hart will be right back with the close of today's message. But first, we have an offer we think you'll like to have for yourself or as a gift for that special reader in your life. It's an assortment of 6 magnetic bookmarks, which will mark your pages in style. Their inspirational designs combine artwork and verses of scripture. These scripture-based page markers contain verses from Psalms, Isaiah, Proverbs, and Jeremiah, along with an excerpt from the famous Footprints poem and the hymn Amazing Grace. Keep a set of 6 for yourself or share one with a friend. We would love to send you a set for a gift of any size in support of our ministry. Reach out to us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. Our online address is gogfministries.org or call our offices at 215-361-8111. Here's Dr. Hart with the close of today's teaching.
And so I want to challenge you that part of our evangelism then, part of our outreach to the community at large has to be speaking into their lives, but earning the right to speak into their life. It means meeting the needs of people around us. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here, that this Philippian church made a connection with him by their gift. They now had something to share between them, and he was forever grateful of that. Jesus is our example, and the Philippian church here followed that example, and we should follow that example as well. You know, that's why our mission is to make disciples that share God's love with the world. And rather than most churches, you know what their evangelism consists of? Preaching the gospel from the pulpit. And you know what? We could stand here and preach the gospel from the pulpit from now till Jesus comes back. But if we don't earn the right to be heard by people at large, then it'll, a lot of our preaching is just going to be to the four walls. And it might be sound, it might be orthodox, it might be all that, but if we don't earn the right to be heard, lives aren't going to be affected. And so I want to challenge us that we need to go out. We need to be meeting the needs of people. We need to be thinking about individually, in our groups, as a church, how can we give to meet the needs of people around us? How can we seek faithfully to make the connection with people around us as we go about our business? If you're faithfully giving to God, it puts you in a unique, separate category than most Christians that come to church. Amen. You are more peculiar than you think. And we've pulled quite a bit out of the text. I hope you wrote that down because it's a lot for you to think about in just a half hour or so. But take it home and think about it. And my question is to you, where do you fit in these benefits? How is your giving to God? If you're scared, ask God to help you. If you're worried about it, ask him to show his power in your life. Pray to the Lord and make a fresh commitment maybe that, you know what, from this day forward, maybe I haven't always done right, but from this day forward, I want to do what God wants me to do.
We are so grateful for the opportunity to share God's word and God's love with you. If you've never experienced the salvation and deliverance he so freely offers, we'd love to help you in your desire to know more about him. We'd also invite you to send us your prayer requests. We value the opportunity to stand with you as you seek God's working in your life. And remember our resource for this month, the set of 6 magnetic bookmarkers. Our mailing address is GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Or call us at 215-361-8111. You can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for GOGF Ministries. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Sam Butler, and the entire staff here at GOGF, I'm Sheila King reminding you that salvation is free, but it didn't come cheap.